He gives us a command here, and this is going to tie into finances in a minute. Stop being afraid. You are more important than the birds, and they're taken care of. Stop being afraid. Now, can I say, for some of you to stop being afraid, you're going to have to go deep and let God heal where you heard your parents fight about money all the time. Or you're going to have to go deep and let God heal where there was never enough money. You've got to go deep and let God get out of where people said, you'll never have a job, you'll never have this, you'll never have that because of this or because of that. Amen? These are all what? Lies of the enemy intentionally sowed into our hearts through well-meaning people a lot of times to keep us what? In fear. Amen? To keep us in fear. We're in the kingdom of God. Okay, there's no male or female in the kingdom of God. I promise you, God has no problem with the different races because he created them all. He is not sitting there upset that he made us different colors. He's not upset that he likes creativity. He's not upset that our fingerprints aren't the same. He's not upset with our differences. Amen? He created it. He likes the different cultures. He likes all the creativity. He is an awesome creative God. We're not supposed to be a bunch of zombies walking around looking alike and sounding alike and acting alike. Amen? Everybody reveals something about the awesomeness of God, and it's time to be cool with that. Amen? All right. Even the hairs of your head are numbered, so stop being afraid. You differ not from any spirits. When you say, God, do you know I have to pay this bill? God, do you know how am I going to do this? Well, get a hold of Jesus. Stop it. Stop being afraid. Stop that spirit of fear. God even knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything. He knows God knows every single can of vegetables or whatever that's in my pantry. I don't even know. He knows where every single penny is in my house, my purse, my car, vacuum cleaner, wedged in a corner of a closet somewhere. He knows where every bit of it is. Amen? And he's saying, quit being afraid. I get it. So don't talk to God in desperate fear. Calm yourself down first, amen? I say to you, I love this is Jesus, but I say to you, everyone who may confess me before men, the Son of Man will also confess him before the angels of God. So what's this kind of saying? We need to not be ashamed of being Christians. We need to not be ashamed of being Christians. You want angels helping you? Bible says they come to help. How many would like angels to hang out with you? How many would like angels to go and do what God tells you to tell them to do? Then he says, don't deny me. I don't care what anybody else says. You belong to Jesus. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's my Savior. Get with the program. I'm not going to be ashamed of knowing him. Amen? So first thing he says is don't be afraid and don't be ashamed of me. Tell people about me. If you deny me before man, you shall be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who shall say a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But the one blaspheming against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Okay, I'm not going to get into that tonight, but you haven't done it, okay, or you wouldn't be in church. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is, if you're a born-again believer and you've tasted of the things of the Spirit, which very few born-again believers have, and you moved in the supernatural and you know he's extremely real, like Judas, who saw him and knew him. And then you tell him to get away from you, leave you alone, you don't want him anymore. Then he will leave. But he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to say, oh, I'm tired of working on this one. I'm tired of trying to help this one. He never does that. You have to basically kick him out. Purposely, intentionally, knowing what you're doing. Okay? And some people do that. Judas did that. It's a knowing what you're doing. Okay? All right. I still haven't gotten to my teaching yet. We're getting there. When they bring you before the synagogues, rulers, authorities, do not be anxious on how or what you shall reply or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you should say. Isn't that powerful? God wants that to be how we handle everything. God wants me to say what he wants me to say when I'm standing here, when I'm ministering in my group, when I'm in the grocery store, wherever I'm at, he wants to start to have the freedom. And he wants us to be free enough to let him say and do what he wants to do and not us try to do it. Amen? Think how powerful what we say will be at that time. And one from the crowd said to him, all right, now here's somebody, here's a heckler yelling out, thinking about their own problem, their self-absorbed person. Here Jesus doing this powerful teaching about fear and all. He must not have had an intimidating presence, which is good, because who would yell at the Son of God a question? But nothing's ever random in the Word of God, amen? He says, hey, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. My brother's got more. My parents left him more. He's wiggled things around. It's not fair. Tell him to give me my half of the inheritance. And Jesus says, man, I love God. Hey, man, who appointed me a judge or divider over you? This isn't my business. I'm not going to get in your personal little affairs. God's seen this guy's heart. You're trying to use me. You're trying to use my anointing. You're trying to use my relationship with God. You're trying to use my wisdom. You're trying to use that to get me to take a side. And he said to them, and he saw this guy's heart. Watch it when you ask the Lord a question, and watch it when you ask somebody or tell somebody who's really anointed a question. Because as we mature and we begin to see the way God sees things, we'll see right through that question to the Spirit operating. And that's what you want, right? Don't you want people who can see that and really help you get free? But it's a little scary. Because the things of God bust right through the flesh and go right to the spiritual. So Jesus begins to then preach. So don't get on me when I preach after talking to people and I kind of preach your story. Because I'm just being led by the Holy Spirit. And it's in the Word because it's how Jesus preached. Because his heart's right. He wants everybody to hear. He wants everybody to learn. This guy yelled out in the crowd while he was teaching. So he used it to help people get free. And he says to them, beware. Keep back from covetousness. For one's life is not in the abundance of the things which are his. So I'm saying, God, help me with this. Make it real. Help me get rid of this. I know I thank God we have the big giveaway every Christmas. Because I got to get rid of some of this stuff. But I'm trying not to buy so much more. Because I'd rather use money for something else. Amen? So I'm saying, Lord, and the Lord's had to deal with me about this. Because if you were brought up here, and this is a problem in America. If you're brought up feeling like you can't have that fancy car, and you can't have this, and you can't have that, you can begin to be covetous. And all of a sudden, it's about the possession. I want a new car. I want a new house. I want this. And all of a sudden, you become envious. All of a sudden, it's about what you have. And what the Lord's saying, there's no life in that. There's no life in that. The people in a nation that don't have anything, but they have me, they have all they need. And so he's shown us here, your stuff, especially in America, can become idolatry. And as when you really get into scripture, he tells you to take all your extra possessions and take them to the apostles, basically, and sell them to have money to meet people's needs. So I think we'll have a thrift store again one day. This is what we basically did in the thrift store. We took all our possessions that we didn't need, and we sold them to bring finances in to help people. So watch out. That thrift store thing might be a God thing. Amen? Covetousness. Let's look that up real fast. Because it has some deeper meanings. And I want this out of my heart. Amen? We are brought up in America with a spirit of witchcraft released on every television commercial to release covetousness. Right? I mean, something just because it has a certain letter on it that represents somebody's brand, they charge $50 more for a letter. That means nothing. You know what I'm saying? We live with witchcraft of covetousness, especially our nation, constantly bombarding us. It's crazy how most of our nation's money comes from these advertisers who pay millions of dollars to advertise, which means they're selling that much stuff to people who already have too much stuff. I mean, that is the American lifestyle. I'm part of it, I know. I'm asking God help. Covet. Okay, here we go. Covet means to desire wrongfully without due regard for the rights of others, to covet somebody else's property. What does this word mean? I looked it up. Inordinately. Let me look it up. I did all this, and then I didn't know I was teaching this. Okay, not within proper or reasonable limits. Okay? So I begin to pray, God, I want reasonable limits. I don't think I have reasonable limits when it comes to shoes and clothes. I buy them all on sale. I mean, I don't pay that much for them. I think that's part of the game for me. But I don't mind donating them, give them away. But there's still something that I'm trying to prove with that. See, God's trying to get all this out of my heart, right? He's trying to get this out of my heart. So I'm like, Lord, show me that I don't solve every problem by buying something. I can solve a few of them. No, you can. I mean, it's okay if you have the money. I don't have any debt, so let's be nice. I don't have any debt. But there's still this, Lord, you want me to be a good steward. You want me to have abundance. Come on, in America, we have, according to statistics, if people own cell phones and have shelter, or you're not poor compared to the world. So the poverty rate in America is zero. Anyone in real poverty has chosen to be there. It's usually a demonic issue. People really, throughout the world, are living in huts on dirt floors, drinking dirty water, and not knowing how to get food. That's poverty. Don't read the scriptures about the poor and think there's any of that in America. Okay, I'm just being honest. God doesn't see it as America. In America, it's more like some people who have and some people who don't, and the covetousness. You know what I'm saying? Who has the most possessions and this and that? And I'm not saying we're supposed to be generous, yes. And this is our culture, and we have to kind of understand that and live within that and the blessings of that. But we got to get the bigger picture, and God wants our ministry to have the bigger picture. There are people literally dying of starvation, and there's no food coming to them. Not the kind they don't like. Amen? That our nation makes sure that people are taken care of is not a bad thing. It's actually what makes you a sheep nation instead of a goat nation in the Bible. Won't get into all that. So we need to quit knocking that we have a nation that wants to take care of people. If we get to a place where we don't have that at all, we've really walked away from the heart of God. Amen? But we also want to be a people who recognize the talent. We don't want it hidden. We want people to take what God's given them and use it and watch God bring increase. All right. So this is not having reasonable limits. Unrestrained in conduct. Uncontrolled. Uncontrolled. And I know some people have this really bad. I mean, if you have debt and you just put things on a charge card, because you see it and something in your brain justifies how you're going to pay it later, or you don't even think about it anymore, or you think bankruptcy is an answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then you got this even worse. You are a slave. You're a slave to the enemy, the Bible says. You're a slave to debt, okay? And each person has to get before the Lord and see, what does that mean for you? I mean, I think, personally, I think paying to live in somebody else's house is unbiblical if you want to get down to it as far as compared to debt, because the Bible says we're to be the lender, not the borrower. But if I'm constantly giving somebody money for a house I don't own, I'm not getting closer to being the one who owns. Amen? And so a lot of that's just, you know, what works. If God makes a way for you to get a mortgage and he gives you a miracle provision to pay for that, eventually, like this building, if we had to wait until we had the money, we wouldn't be just 1 year away from completely owning this building. But we would have been paying out all that rent for somebody else's building. And we'd still be at square one. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's a prudence here. There's a wisdom here. There's not a legalistic, I can't ever borrow any money. It's like weighing things and seeing what's the best way to do this. What's the greatest way to do this? Amen? So God wants our brains involved in this, in the sense of using wisdom and prudence, but seeking him. And what's the biggest key about any freedom? Your heart. Freedom's not about legalistic how I do this. It's about a heart. It's about thinking something out and getting things out of your heart that are in the way and being honest about it. You could go and grab everything you own and throw it away. And if you didn't deal with the heart issue, guess where you're going to be with your Discover card the next day? Kohl's. You'll be at Kohl's the next day with your Discover card. Or your Kohl's card. Do you see what I'm saying? It's about the heart. Can we all get that? Every freedom comes from being free in your heart. And part of the key to living in abundance is dealing with the heart issues. And we like to hide from the heart issues because we kind of like some of this stuff. Amen? Oh, come on. Y'all know you do. Say amen. Okay? And this is stuff that hasn't bit us yet, that we hang on to until it bites us. How many know God wants us to get rid of it before it bites us? How many wants us to get rid of it before we're in so much debt we don't know how to get out? He wants us to deal with it before we have to move our family into another place. He wants us to deal with the stuff in our marriages before there's a divorce, so there won't be a divorce. Before there's a bankruptcy, so there won't be a bankruptcy. Amen? He wants us to deal with spending too much. So one thing caught me with this is uncontrolled. So let's go back to the scripture, because I only got a half hour. And I want to finish this. Wouldn't that be nice? All right. Beware. What does beware mean? It means be on guard here. Watch this. See this. Beware. Because what does this mean? Most people aren't aware of it. It's one of those seductive things that you just kind of spend and want and think you can have because somebody else has. Can I tell you something? The big crisis that our nation went through a few years ago where all those houses were foreclosed on, if we had listened to this scripture, it wouldn't have happened. And it crunched the nation. It crunched the economy. There were a lot of other things. I'm not all political and into all that, but this was one of the things. People were borrowing money that there was no future for them being able to continue to pay. You know, it's like a lie. Okay, we're going to let you only have to pay this small amount now, and in 5 years, it's going to double. Well, without a plan of how you're going to make more money in 5 years, you're just asking to have to foreclose and lose that house in 5 years, right? Now, I'm not saying live in fear and think, oh, I can't not buy anything. Maybe I won't have a job in 10 years. But there should be a logical reasoning behind what you're doing. Amen? There should be a logic to know I can afford this. And if the enemy hits with something, then I'm going to run to God and find out what to do and how to take authority. But not what? Blindly, unaware, walking into these traps. Amen? So he says, beware. Keep back from covetousness. What does it mean? Stay away from this thing. Stay away from uncontrolled spending. Stay away from seeing what somebody else has and thinking you have to have it. Can I tell you, I don't have that for BFA. Except for my clothes and shoes, I really don't have this. And they're all on sale. I mean, I'm just saying, but I want all of it out of my heart. I don't, look, these chairs were $10 a piece. Do you know new chairs to sit in a church are about $250 a piece? We found the recovering to cover them with fabric. We found it online like at a tenth of the price. I honestly don't have a big picture of the big building for $8 million. I don't want a big building for $8 million. Maybe God will put that on some people's heart because only fancy people want to go into a big building that costs $8 million. And maybe that's what he put on their heart to draw those people. I'm not judging it. Amen? All I know is there's nothing in me that wants or thinks like that when it comes to BFA at all. Actually, anywhere. I'm actually very content. I'm very content. So God keeps bringing the increase. See, if you would get content where you are, God will bring the increase. But if you live in lack, they're saying, well, how could there ever be increase for me? You're not content. So yeah, you're right, there won't be. But you're trying to figure out in your mind in the natural, well, how could there be increase? There are so many ways God could increase. There's so many ways he could put you into a different car, a different house, this and that. But you keep yourself stuck in lack because you don't know how big he is. And you look at your circumstances and you look at what you can do instead of what he's calling you to do. Amen? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Somebody said that on TV the other day. I always listen to Sunday morning preaching before I come. For one's life is not in the abundance of the things which are his. Your self-esteem, your importance. Look how big this, look how the devil really uses this in marketing in America. I watch some of these shows on, you know, what not to wear and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, if they put me in there and try to put heels on me because I would look better, and tried to put me in these fancy dresses to walk around. That is just not my style. I have the money. I could make it my style. I know it looks good. I could do it. But you know what? It just isn't to me. It makes no sense personally that I'm going to walk around in a dress all day long with heels on. Personally, if you do it, it's great. When I was young, I did it. I used to wear heels. I was 2 to 3 inches taller when I was young before I had children. Sometimes having children has made me short. I think it was being pregnant. I couldn't wear those big heels anymore. And then once I took them off my feet, I realized, oh my gosh, I was being tortured and didn't know it. And I was ruined once I got those elastic pants. But anyway, not that when you're pregnant, you get back in the day, you had elastic. I thought, oh my God, flat shoes, elastic pants, big. Oh, this is great. Okay. And I try not to live in that zone, okay? I try not to. But I'm just telling you, I don't covet that stuff. I don't covet it. I can see it on the magazines. I can see it here and there. I don't covet it because it's just not a lifestyle choice I want to make. But I still look nice. Amen. I still see what will look nice with flat shoes and what would go okay and what would be appropriate. And so I'm just telling you, but I don't covet. I don't look and say, oh, I wish. Don't look at somebody, oh, I wish. If you wish, then do it. Oh, I wish I could look like that. Well, then go look like that. Go get your hair done, put the makeup on, buy the clothes. You can do it. Get rid of the I wish. The I wish is covetousness. I look at that and I want it. I look at that and I want it. And the whole thing behind covetousness is there's no control because you're trying to prove something with your stuff. You're trying to prove something with what you have. And so God's saying, you know, you got to get this out of your heart. Amen. Is this helping anybody? As he spoke this parable to them, he gives a story. There's a certain rich man produced wealth from the land. And he reasoned within himself, saying, what may I do? For I have nowhere that I can gather my fruits. In other words, I am doing so well in this business that if I just had more space, I could save up stuff. And I won't have to work in a few years. I can retire. I could just save all this up and hoard this stuff up. And he says, and he reasoned within himself, saying, what may I do? For I have nowhere that I can gather all of this. And he says, I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger, larger barns, and I will gather all my produce and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. You can rest, eat, drink, and be glad. What is he doing? He's trying to take care of self. He's like, I'm going to work really hard now, and I'm going to build big barns, and I'm going to take care of myself financially by working hard now. It's like this person works to retire. This person works and does everything to retire. And he's counting on his own strength. He's counting on his own works. He's seeing his own good and his focus and what is what he's doing and what he's producing. Am I saying, I think it's cool to have savings accounts and all this stuff. I'm not against a lot of things we have in America, but things can be gone really fast. I think I told you this once before because I kind of had this thing, well, with the end times, if I have enough clothes in different sizes and all this, no matter what, you know, how bad it gets, I'll still have my clothes and my, you know, all my makeup and stuff. And the Lord said, well, what about a house fire? I said, oh, well, we don't need to get drastic here, God. I get the point. Do you see what I'm saying? You can do all that you think you can do, but you don't get it. If the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy, it's gone. If God decides to judge it, it's over. Amen? So it's foolishness to think you could take care of yourself. In the economy right now, it's foolishness to think if I go save up enough beans and put them in the basement and I buy bars of gold and I do this and I focus all my focusing on how I'm going to survive the last days. I'm not saying God can't give wisdom. I'm not saying God can't show things. Amen. This is a covetous heart that looks out for self. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And they live in that place of what? Fear. And they think the stuff is going to take care of them because their focus has begun to be on the stuff and the ease of life instead of on God. And so they say to their soul, okay, you can rest now. What does God say? We enter into his rest. We enter into trusting him. We enter into walking with him. And then he gives us rest. that nobody understands. No matter what storm comes, you still have peace. You still have joy. You still have rest. He will take care of you. He's going to show you that in a minute. God said to him, "You fool, this night they demand your soul from you, that which you prepared. Whom is it going to go to?" All that work, all that effort, all that stuff, thinking in your mind, I'm going to be able to kick back and rest one day. And you can't even make yourself live till tomorrow. So you did all that for somebody else. You did not enjoy your life now because you were doing all that. Don't live for tomorrow. Live for today, but have wisdom to be obedient to God. Amen. He says, so he who treasures up for himself and is not rich towards God, so is he who treasures up for himself, their fool, and not being rich towards God. So as we're looking at this abundance and this understanding, God wants us to begin to get this heart. I want to be rich towards God. Come on. That needs to be our focus. How do I become rich towards God? How do I become rich towards God? To be rich towards God, I want to be full of knowing God, walking with God, obeying God, listening to God, living for God, trusting God. I want, if you want abundance, you want to be rich towards God, and then everything else is going to flow from that. Amen? He says to his disciples, because of this, I say to you, do not be anxious as to your life, what you should eat, nor as to your body, what you should put on it. The life is more than the food and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they don't sow and they do not reap and they have no storehouse or barn, but God feeds them. You are much different from the birds. And who of you being anxious is able to add one cubic to your stature? You can't make yourself taller except with bigger shoes. God's saying you can't do anything. You really can't do anything without me. You can't be breathing tomorrow without me. You can't. He said, when you worry, you are wasting your time. Instead, get rich in the things of God. Get rich in the word of God. Get rich in spending time in his presence. Get rich in hanging out with him. Get rich in God. Amen. He goes on. Then if you're not able to do even the least, why are you anxious about all the rest? Because you're wasting all this time and energy, fear-based worrying. Before I was walking with God, I was saved at 7, but I didn't walk with God till I was like in my 20s. And I used to work at a radio station. And we had this new boss that was horrible. It was just crazy. It was like those television radio stations were so bad. The cussing was so bad. Everything was so bad. And I got so worried there, because it was so unfair what was going on and who they put in. They were selling the radio station, so they put a secretary, who was not that good of a secretary, in as station manager. And I was sales manager. And so I had to then listen to the secretary, who didn't know what she was talking about. And she didn't like me, and I wasn't living this kind of life I'm living now. I mean, I knew God, but it was just barely. But it drove me nuts. And I would actually take this scripture and I would preach the scripture at myself. Quit worrying it. It can't even make you taller. Just quit worrying. And that's when God began to break my heart and deal with me. And it wasn't long after that I got pregnant with my daughter. And that was the point in my life that I really turned my heart totally over to God. But he was preparing me. I was getting so tired of the world. I was getting so tired of trying to compete in the world and make it in the world and, you know, be so successful in the world. And so, boy, I tell you, that anxiety was just, but even back then, it's so amazing because I don't even remember hardly ever reading the Bible. And I can't believe I actually found that scripture and meditated on that scripture. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They do not labor, they do not spin. And I say to you, not even Solomon, all of his glory, was clothed as one of these. But if God so dresses the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, how much more you of little faith. And you, do not seek what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Stop being in anxiety. Quit worrying about it. How many needed to hear this tonight? Quit worrying about it. Quit thinking about it. Quit focusing on it. Be rich in your relationship with God. Be you can train yourself and make yourself do that. That doesn't mean he's not going to have you work. It doesn't mean he's not going to open doors for you. It doesn't mean he's not going to have you get education. It means get rich in him and let him do what he wants to do. Amen? Worrying and thinking about it and conniving and figuring it out and trying to come up with a way to make things work out will just take away all of your energy and time and health and finances. Amen? Trust him. It says, all the nations of the world seek after all these things. Your father knows that you need these things. Here we go. We all use. He's talking about money in this scripture. He means it for everything, but really the scripture is about money. But seek the kingdom of God, and all this other stuff will be taken care of. It doesn't get any clearer than that, does it? It doesn't get any clearer than that. Where you're worrying, guess what you're not doing? Seeking the kingdom of God. Where you are worrying, where you are trying to figure out how to make it work for yourself, to protect yourself, where you're trying to catch these thoughts, because I have these stupid thoughts sometimes. Amen? And I recognize these thoughts are thoughts of the enemy trying to get worry back in there. And even as the Lord took me to the season through January and February, and he's brought me back to restoration in March, completely from finances. I've never not paid a bill, thank God, for his mercy and grace. I have been humbled, and I've prayed, and I've had to tell guest speakers, no, we can't spend $4,000 to bring you, and no, I can't buy that for you, and no, I'm sorry right now, I don't have the money for this. And it was very humbling in some ways, but it was very freeing in other ways. Amen? But I'm not going back to, what's the budget? I'm going back to, okay, God, teach me your ways. I'm going to seek the kingdom. Amen? I'm going to seek the kingdom of God. What does that mean? He wants us to understand his ways. He wants us to know his spiritual laws. He wants us to understand who he is. There's a lot about a kingdom, right? He purposely didn't say there, seek Jesus, because a lot of people think they're doing that. He says, seek my kingdom. Understand how it works in my kingdom. Understand what the rules of the kingdom are. Understand how I make this stuff work. And where you're worrying, you're in the world. Now, I always have to put this in there to help. Pretended faith is not worrying, but it's not because you're seeking the kingdom. It's because you have bought a lie that you're okay. And it's a false rest and it's a false peace. Now, how do you know? Because by the end of it, it's a mess. Amen? So you need, and even in that, it's a thing not to worry. You are worrying, you're just trying to cover it up with spirituality. Amen? So deal with that you're worrying and quit trying to spiritualize it. Amen? Go to God. Why am I afraid of this? Show me my childhood. Show me where these seeds are planted over me. Show me how to trust you. How do I seek the kingdom? And you be real about it. Amen? Just be real. Make it real. God loves that. He can work with us when we open up and make it real and deal with it. Get rid of all this spiritual blah, blah, blah. That's baloney. Amen? When you say stuff like, that's baloney to the Philippines here in India, they don't know what you're talking about. You know, when you say you're chicken, they don't get it. What do you mean you're chicken? They all look at me strange anyway. Seek the kingdom of God. And what's the promise? All these things will be added to you. So when you start seeing yourself get into fear, anxiety, stop yourself and seek the kingdom of God. And that's what I'm doing when I got this message. That's what I'm doing. Lord, show me. Not that I've even been in fear, but just a little bit of unease. Like, Lord, I don't know how you want to do this. You know, do I just check every day and say, well, I can't pay it now. We don't have it. What are we doing? You know, I don't want to go back to trying to take care of it. Show me what to do. All right. Stop being afraid, little flock, because your father is pleased to give you the kingdom. It doesn't say he's going to give you the money. He says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, your father is not going to hold back on giving you the kingdom. Your father's not going to hold back on giving you the authority, the power, the understanding, the revelation. He already gave you his spirit. It doesn't get any greater than that, amen? It doesn't get any greater than God living inside of us. Whoa, it doesn't get any greater than that. Isn't that great? So I already got the kingdom in me. Now I just have to seek it. Seek after this powerful, wonderful, awesome God. All right. Then, don't do this one. Go skip that. Sell your possessions and give offerings. Give to the poor. Get free from taking care of self, hanging on to possessions. Get free of thinking that if you got rid of that, the whole world's going to fall apart. Get free from the kind of covetous thinking that you're going to take care of self with that old thing and this old thing and that old thing. Get rid of what is just being stored. Get rid of just what's being stored. Well, but if I move, well, when you move, you're also going to want new furniture. Or God will give it to you another way. Or you'll go to a BFA yard sale or a giveaway or thrift store, whatever. Amen? That's the spirit of covetousness. It makes you worried. It takes your finances. It drains your life. Let me tell you what. When God tells you to give away these extra possessions, the stuff you're storing, you're going to find out how bad this thing is. I'm dealing with it still. See, part of you wants to hang on to it if it's kind of fun. I like my 5,000 outfits. It would take me 20 years to, y'all haven't even seen half of my clothes. And then I look at him, I'm like, yeah, but it still looks good. That's why I bought it. Sell your possession. Give offering. Make for yourself purses that do not grow old. Lord, I got 400 purses. I'm just kidding. I only got 30. I only have 30. I gave away a bunch last year. Okay, probably more than 30. I don't know. I haven't counted them. I don't think it's a lot more than 30. I'll let you know tomorrow. Make for yourself purses that do not grow old, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where a thief cannot come near nor moth corrupt. Oh, he's getting me now. When you keep this spirit, you open the door to be robbed. When you keep this spirit of getting possessions you don't need, of having possessions you don't need, of hanging on to stuff. I don't even know how fasting this will be hard. When you get this, you open the door for the enemy to steal because you have an idol. Some of you don't. Let me say, you don't have to have a lot to have this. If you want what other people have. If you look at what other people have with that, I wish I had that. And if you had the charge card, or you had the credit, or you had the money, you have to go out and get it. Amen. It's not about how much. It's about what's in your heart. Amen. Our entire culture is under this Babylonian spirit that releases this. Our whole culture, that was our whole nation that was set up by God to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, have spent more of our money on stuff we don't even need. Oh, God, you got to go deep. The heart of an American is, yeah, but everybody has this, or everybody, or you can, you know what I'm saying? And God's like, no, if I've given you an abundance, I've given it to you to help the needy. I've given it to you to be a kingdom person. I've given it to you to do my will. To walk in the abundance, you have to be a person that God trusts you to take the extra, to take care of people he wants to take care of, to help churches he wants to help. And this spirit is so strong in our nation. It's everything. I mean, it's all over, everywhere. And the more technical we've become, now it's on your computer screen, it's on your iPad, it's on your cell phone, it's on this free service, it's on that free service, it's at this free app, it's at that free app, it's here, there, everywhere. It's just screaming all the time, amen? It's screaming at us all the time. Remember, this is about getting it out of our heart. What's God saying in all this? Cindy, I want you to have a heart that cares more about taking care of people who are hungry and dying. And a heart that wants to feed and go. I want you to be the answer to other people's prayers. Because you have my heart. Can you imagine Jesus really being down here, knowing people are starving, and he could do something about it, and he doesn't? See, he has to change our hearts. Otherwise, we'll just go shop again. Not that we, it's okay to shop. It's okay to look nice. It's okay to have things. Amen? It's about a heart condition that puts those things in a higher importance of your self-esteem, a higher importance of your value, to a place where God can't trust you with abundance. And let me say this. This isn't about who has what. This is about every single person's true heart of what they would truly do with what God gives to them. And for me personally, not that I have to tell everybody all my personal stuff, but it seems like I do. For me personally, it's not about this ministry. I don't see this stuff as mine. I don't use this stuff as mine. I take very small, if almost not maybe reasonable salary according to our world standards. And we give and we give and we give. And God's blessed us. But I've got to quit separating my at-home life from overseeing this. And you know, dying like that is scary, isn't it? To really, really, really say, you know what, Lord? I only want what you want me to have. See, we think of getting increase in abundance as getting more stuff. God sees it as getting free from needing stuff so he can give you what's important to him to take care of what's important to him. It's like a whole lifestyle shift. You know, it's like a whole change in our culture. I forgot who it was that came in. Someone came in somewhere, met them. They're from the Ukraine or somewhere. And they're stuck here. They can't get back in their country. And they came and asked us. I think the ministry gave them some money or something. And I said, well, are your needs taken care of? Because they're stuck here. And they said, well, not according to Americans, but way more according to us from, I think they're from the Ukraine. Because we have a one-bedroom apartment, and it's like 400 square feet, which is larger than three people need. They had a baby. And we get this little bit of money from our ministry, sends it to them. And so we're able to eat, and, you know, and we're able to take the bus. And they're like, so we really are so blessed. Wow. When I talk about evil eye, I think next Tuesday, you're going to see this awesome thing God showed me about the spirit that justifies why not to give. That is a spirit. So Father, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you for changing all of our hearts. Lord, make us not be the people about what we have or don't have, or how much we have or don't have, or how much we make or don't make. God, let us be the people about your kingdom. Let us rejoice in other people's blessings. But Lord, get all covetousness and greed out of our hearts so that you can trust us, God, with that which is powerful. Lord, I pray that you make every person in here rich in God. Lord, make us all rich in God. Lord, just make us so rich in you. Lord, set us free from anything the enemy's put in our hearts. Lord, set us free so the enemy can't hurt us, so he can't take us captive. So nothing that's shaken will bother us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.